Hello, Twins fans. This is John Swole with TwinsTrivia.com, and today we have a special treat for you. We're going to get a chance to talk with Wayne Hathaway, a guy that's been in baseball for over 65 years. Wayne started his career in 1952 with the Mobile Bears as their bat boy and worked his way through the Twins minor league system, stopping in places like Dallas, Charlotte, Lynchburg, Reno, Orlando, Fort Myers, and finally, with the help of Ron Gardenhire and Terry Ryan, he got to work for the Twins major league team starting in 2002. So let's talk with Wayne and learn a little about his longtime baseball history. Wayne, it's great to see you here today and get a chance to talk to you. How about you tell us a little bit about your younger years and your family and, yeah. And you know, what you did growing up?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, when I became 12, I went to Murphy High School, graduated in 59, but I was a bat boy from 1952, till we folded the season, baseball up, mm-hmm. in 1961. I didn't have nothing to do with baseball, but one of the trainers from the Nashville Vols was going to move to Dallas, Texas, and they said they liked my work as a clubhouse man. He said, how would you like to spend 2 years in Dallas? I said, I love it, I'm out of high school. So he said, okay. And the first year, I was with the Angels and the Phillies together, co-op team.
Yeah.
And I met Jim Fregosi, who became with the Angels and a manager at one of the other clubs. And then in 63, the Twins came to town. I knew Ray Jablonski, who played with us a year, and a couple of other guys I knew. Mm-hmm. Said, we already got a clubhouse guy. Wayne Hathaway told my boss, Mr. Brophy and Mr. Griffith, we got somebody to take care of you guys in Dallas. At that time, I was about 32 years old. I said, sure, I'll take it. So I spent 2 years there, with Tony Olivo, Sandy Valespino, and then some of the twin ball players, They was in AAA. They had a cup of coffee in big leagues. So after the 63 season, I met Phil Hauser. He was a general manager with the Charlotte Hornets, who is a good friend of Calvin's. That's where Minnesota had the AA club in Charlotte, North Carolina. Says, how would you want to go to Atlanta with AAA, or you want to come with me in AA? I said, I'll come with you in AA. I was in AAA, never got a shot to big leagues. So I was in Dallas, I was in Charlotte for about 10 years until we moved on. But in 63, the first year with the Twins, I was with Tony Oliva, John McKay, Brian Henry, and we used to have a lot of fun in the clubhouse. Throwing chairs like they fight now, but we was playing good. That's when I met these guys. And one of the senators from Texas was a big fan, and he knew we was fighting in clubhouse gimmicks. So he got two good-looking ladies to come, and we had a wrestling match between me and you and Don Williams. He was about 6'6", and I was about 5'6", weighing 100 pounds. And we wrestled in the match. We had fun, real fun. That's what we really... We won a lot of games, but we didn't, win the season. But we always had fun,
Yeah. Who were some of the best players that you remember from back then?
Back there, other than Tony Olivo, Sandy Valespino, Joe Nosek. I think he had a cup of coffee with the Twins.
Yeah.
And Jim Schneider, Jim Rance, who was later became assistant farm director with the Twins. I knew him. Shortstop as a Latin guy, I'm trying to think. Zorro Versalles was the shortstop before he got moved up to big leagues. Like I say, Joe McCabe had a cup of coffee and Ron Henry. And some of the pitchers, they didn't make the big leagues because we had the good pitchers in big leagues, so they got stuck in AAA till they got too old to play.
Sure.
And then when I got to Charlotte in 64, 64, right after John F. Kennedy got assassinated, that's when I met a lot of the 64 guys who later became the 65, they got to make it to the World Series.
Sure.
Of course, they got beat, but at least they got there.
Went seven games.
Yes, they went seven games. And I had, In 69, we signed Bert Blyleven, who became, you know, Hall of Famer. And I had eight guys that's in the Hall of Fame now that's one time or the other I got to work with.
You know, nice.
Harlan Kilbrew and Mauer, our manager, and Kirby Puckett and Bird. And right now we got Jack Morris going in. I worked for him a little bit.
Yeah.
And guys like that.
Yeah, well, that's nice to have worked with all those Hall of Famers.
That's right.
Was Harmon the nice guy that everyone said he was?
I first met him in 1954 when he signed. You know, in them days, you spend 2 years in big leagues, which, you know, you don't play much. And they sent me to Chattanooga. That's where I met him. Of course, he didn't know me. I was only about 14. But I playing not against him, but when he got up to Minnesota the last time, about 2 years before he passed away, we talked every morning. We always had good words to say about each other.
Just, nice.
And I was with Jim Lemon. You probably remember Jim Lemon.
I do.
And he worked for me down here when I lost my eyesight. You know, he made me not better, but, you know, took me to the doctor. So I got to know him very long.
Nice.
And so, like I said, before he passed away, I was talking to Harmon about 2 weeks before Jim Lemon passed away. He said, "You better go see Jim now because he, you know, he might be gone." So flew to Mississippi. You know, he was my buddy. And me, and the more I talked to Harmon, you know, I feel a lot better. I mean, you know, knowing him and saying good things and that. And I had the cataracts taken off my eyes, and I was scared. And Harmon had the same thing, but he didn't get a chance. You know, he passed away about a month later. So, and like I say, I got to know the 87 team World Series. And I say 90% of the 87 World Series I had in AA about 3 years earlier. So I knew all them guys. Like, one of them is here now, Steve Lombardozzi's here in camp now. And Bert's here. And Tony didn't come. They had personal trouble. And I had Quillacy, as you know. I had Frank when he played in Charlotte. And then he later became a manager of Twins, but he only lasted, 1 year or 2 years at the most.
Yeah.
And I was hoping he'd come down, but he's having trouble, you know, with his
health issues.
And like I say, I had Frankie Viola here. Jim Cotter to be here in a day or so for one day or something like that. But Frankie's here. I had him in 86 with a double A team. And I had him very first time he ever put on uniform. I had him on. I had Randy Bush, who's become assistant general manager with the Cubs. And then, like I say, he was in double A with me. And first game he played, made an error. I said, "Put the glove away. You're going to be the hitting coach from now on," which he did. You know, he got in some game, but, you know, basically DH'ing. And we had fun on the bus. Like I say, every time we made a trip, I had to count and see if we had everybody on time. And I always lose him. So I look in the luggage bin. There is Randy Bush and Scott Usher up hiding from me. But we had fun. And then I'm a good football player, you know, coach. I'm not a coach, I was a fan for a football team. And I broke a TV set because we lost the game. Not baseball, football. And I broke the TV set, and Randy Bush said, "I think I got a picture on it." So I picked it up and did it again. And he says, I said, "Fix it now, Randy. If you can do that, you're a magician."
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of fun with those guys.
Even traveling, we had some rough road trips, you know, going from maybe Charlotte to Evansville or Charlotte to Memphis and, you know, back
home. Long trips.
Yeah, we didn't have no days off, you know, with like the Twins. And they flew or whatever it was in the late 60s. So I had fun, even though at 4 o'clock in the morning you wake up, all of our players say, "Well, you're in Tennessee or you're in Alabama or Georgia." I always wake them up and say, "Hey, stand up, boys. It's time to wake up."
it's hard, you know, in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
You're either playing or traveling, it seems like.
And like I say, I've been in Southern League between being a bat boy and working in Charlotte, all at least 25 years. I'm almost like the commissioner of baseball in the Southern League. I did have a reporter say, you should be the president of the Southern League. I said, well, the president, I had him as a ball player. That's how old I am. When the president became a baseball commissioner, you know.
That was Don Mencher, wasn't it?
No, it was Jimmy Bragan. You might have heard of the Bragan boys.
Yeah.
From the Southern League and stuff like that. So I got to know the
Well, eventually, you know, Don Mencher, who played for the Twins, he was the commissioner of the league, too.
Yeah, he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
But he was down here at the strength camp about 10 years ago, I guess it was. Yeah,
I
knew Don, and he's a good guy.
Yeah? Nice guy. So, you know, tell me a little bit about what you serve pretty much as an equipment manager, right? What does an equipment manager do?
Well, they make sure after a game, well, especially the minor leaguers, they come in, they only got one set of uniforms, so they get dirty, but then after a game, I wash them, wash their jocks and, you know, underwears, polish their shoes, make sure the clubhouse is clean. And, of course, in the minor leagues, you only have 25, but about 40 years, I was in charge of the minor leagues, 180 guys. I'm by myself, because I had to do the shoes. There's some things you just can't do in one night. So I did all the laundry, and at that time, from 1965 to 1985, about 20 years, I was a trainer, equipment manager, and road secretary. And I'm surprised I wasn't, but I've been asked to drive a bus, but I said no. I can only do so much. And I used to get, like I said, I sit next to the manager. So my words of make sure the bus driver, make sure he knows where he's going, because a bus driver was a good driver, but he couldn't read or write. So I had to keep up my...
Really?
Yeah, so I had to make sure he's awake and stuff like that. And we stopped one time, and, you know, all these times you got to have a call, you know, to get a sandwich or a cup of coffee. So we always stop at the road stops and stuff like that. But I had a good time. It was a good time, but not a good time. You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you get in these towns, you say, well, where's the hotel? Even though you know, but from a distance, I see the sign, but all these streets one way, and you don't know if you're going the right way, so I get lost several times. Wayne, you've been asleep 20 years, you don't know where you're going. I said, we'll get there, don't worry about it.
So you must start early in the morning and stay at the ballpark late at night.
Well, that's why I got divorced. Not that wasn't the reason, but when I did get married in 1969, I was married for about 20 years. But you're right. When I get to town, when we get back home like 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm in there doing laundry. And time I get home, 11 o'clock, I turn right back around to come to the ballpark because the guy starts coming in about 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. And spring training was almost work. You had to. We opened up the clubhouse in Melbourne. We used to have 25 years. And I used to wake up about 5 in the morning to go there to open up the clubhouse and take care of the ball players. You know, when they come in about 8 o'clock, we have breakfast and, you know, lunch. No supper, because we always home by 5, 6 o'clock at night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, we've had 180 guys over there. Just enough for each guy to have a locker. And, you know, this cutoff time, like I was talking last night, so they were talking about the uniforms being measured. I said, we never measure uniform. When you come in for your uniform, spring training the first day, you get a pair of pants and a shirt. I don't measure them. They said, what happens if they don't fit? I said, it would fit the next guy. Just pass the pants down and get a new pair of pants. When I was... These days, they've got to have measured, even in the minor leagues. I never done that. I mean...
Things have changed.
Yeah, I didn't have a computer. We didn't have computers. You just go by eyesight. If you look like a 32, you're 32.
Yeah.
If you say 33, we don't make them. Because they come in 32, 34, 36. After 38, you better go look for a different kind of job.
That's really...
That's what I told her back the other day. Yesterday, I said, I got to get a uniform. I said, hey, you lost 50 pounds. How do you know what size pants you wear?
I was surprised when I saw him yesterday. I almost didn't recognize
him. Yeah, that's right. I used to, He always stops by the clubhouse one day, you know, one time or the other. I run into, you know, from that side. But like I say, I said, you lost some weight. Yeah, I lost a pound or two, but I put it back on. Like Puckett, I've been on Puckett. Very first time he signed, I had him. All these guys who played in 87, one time or the other, even in spring training, I gave them, you know, I had a uniform for every year. I mean, they don't go straight to the big leagues. You stop off in Melbourne or Fort Myers in the minor leagues, too, till they got to the big leagues.
Yeah. What do you remember about Kirby Puckett when he was just starting out?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me, you think he's going to be a big leaguer? Nobody can tell you. You can say, yes, he's going to be a big leaguer, but sometimes it don't work out. So I said, let's wait a couple of years, you know, two or three years. And then if he makes it, he makes it. But, you know, he made it. So I never want to predict somebody going to the big leagues, because when you got 180 every year, only 1%, maybe less than 1% of the guys make the big leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be great and good or stuff like that, but you can only have 25 ball players.
Yeah, and different circumstances happen, and it can change either make or break a career or two.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you remember any guys that you thought were really, really good that never made it to the big leagues? Anybody stand out?
Well, I have to go way back to, not the Twins, nothing against the Twins, but I did have, when I was with Mobile Bat Boy in Cleveland, we had some good pitchers. Dick Stegman, he's from Minnesota. I had him too. And a guy named Gene Larry. You might remember his brothers playing with Detroit and somebody.
Frank Larry?
Yeah. Now, the only thing about Gene, he won 21 games in AA. And the next year, that was in 56, and then 57, he came back. I said, Gene, what are you doing back? But they didn't have no room because the big club had eight. That's when they had eight pitchers instead of 14 now or whatever it is. And so they was going to send me a AAA. They went down there, same thing. We don't have, you know, all the pitchers went to the big leagues who've been there for a long time. So you were sent there. And the AAA team had the same pitchers in AAA from the year before. So they sent me back to AA. I had nothing to prove. But in them days, you can't quit like they do now to have agents where they have agents. So he won about 18 games. And then I found out he did get to AAA, you know, after so long. And, of course, he passed away a couple of years ago. I didn't know that. But, I mean, he was one. Of course, there was a lot more, but he was a good example. Because when you win 21 games, you should go at least AAA. And it wasn't because of him throwing. It's just you run out of room. You know, you only have so many guys, and somebody's got to go, some people have to stay.
Yeah, that's for sure. What, as an equipment manager, do all the players respect you and treat you well, or is there always some,
well, with the Twins organization,
that are
I never
jerks.
Had no. And my position in the minor leagues, I know only a certain amount of ball players. Nobody ever got mad at me. Of course, they had an opportunity because I used to say, it ain't your fault, it's got to sign you or big storm coming or something. You know, I get along with a lot of guys, and I never had no trouble with them. And like I say, they treat me real well. Of course, I do say, well, it's you can't pitch, you can't hit. I'm not saying you can stay in AA till you're, you know, till you're 40 years old. Of course, they don't do that in them days. But what I mean is, in our position with Mr. Griffin, not against him personally, is unless you're a superstar like Bird and Bowlers and Jim Cotts, and you know there ain't too much room in the minor leagues to do move up. You move up to AAA, but that's not where you want to be. You want to be in the big leagues.
Sure.
And 10, 15, 20 years ago, you don't get that opportunity because when they go to Orlando, you know, the big club that has spring training, there's only maybe one or two opening in the whole 25, not just pitching.
Right.
In other words, we're already set. They got three outfielders. You may get accidentally be the fourth outfielder. Same way with infielders. You may be the, you won't be the Cruz and Don Minchers and Rich Rollins and Zolo when he got up there. You got no chance. You know, if you, only time they make it is, like I say, one more infield and one more outfield. Not that you're going to get it. We already had stacked, but I can't remember all the outfields
from
we
the
had.
Previous year. Yeah. Yeah.
And same way with pitching. I mean, even Berta win 20 games, and Mr. Griffin would say, well, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. Well, you know, he did a good job. He gave me a Hall of Famer. But in them days, too, you don't get that opportunity because you got 10 guys or 12. Back in them days, only 10 pitchers, you know, Aguilera and them kind of guys. So you don't have much of an opportunity. Even though you're a good pitcher, you had to wait your turn.
Yeah, it's a tough way to make a living.
Yeah, I have to say. Well, they didn't, as you, well, I'm not saying you know because you're still a young man, but nobody knew that Calvin didn't want to spend money. He ain't like Mr. Pollard, none against Mr. All these owners in Major League Baseball, they're all millionaires.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and they got a lot of money.
And Mr. Griffin didn't have that. I mean, his own son said, we ought to go free agent. Like you said, who's going to pay for these? Because I don't own a bank. I don't own this. I don't own that. And so he just, you know, it's what it is. I mean, like I said, we ain't won a World Series since, what, 1992? That's been 25 years ago. Somebody's, I was telling these fancy people, their kids, they bring their kids up here. They didn't even know who Calvin Griffith was.
Yeah.
And half these people, you know, from different parts of Minnesota, they've heard the name, but, you know, they didn't go in the 70s and 80s. We didn't have that good club. Not because they couldn't play. In the last 10 years, we ain't gone nowhere. You know.
Yeah.
We get to 500, but that's not baseball.
You mentioned Calvin Griffith a couple times. He was quite a character. What do you remember about him? Was, you know, everybody said that he was cheap and didn't want to pay his players, but on the other hand, you know, his whole family was employed in the organization.
Yeah, if you can't take care of your kids, who can you take care of? I mean, he had a job for each one, you know, concession, this, and Sherry Robson, his stepbrother, he was the general manager. You know, he did the minor leagues. Calvin took care of the big leagues. And Mr. Brophy, his assistant, he took care of the minor leagues. Calvin used to say, who we got? I mean, Brophy can tell you, yeah, this Herbeck's ready, Blylevin's ready. He don't have to do it like you tear around and walk around and have nothing. You can't say this guy's ready no more.
Yeah.
You know, oh, this guy pitched good in Double A. They get to big leagues and they forget where home plate is or how to hit the ball.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. Tell me about some stories that come to mind during your long career in baseball.
Well, like I say, when I was in Melbourne, which I spent 25 years there, the clubhouse was so small, and I was by myself, and taking care of 180 guys, and all these ball players in the minor leagues, even though they got to, some of them got to the big leagues, some didn't, but I had fun with them, because I didn't treat them like a concentration camp. I had some sands, you know, at Angel Falls and stuff like that, and I just loved it down there. And like I say, I didn't get paid much, but I didn't know Mr. Griffith at that time, but he became a good guy. Of course, he might have mistreated, that's a bad word, is when it comes down to contracts, they should tell me, I sent word by the boss, and said, now if they ain't signed their contract to him, even a minor league contract, don't give me a uniform. So, and Mr. Brophy was in charge of that, so when they come in, and I knew that they didn't sign their contract for minor leagues, I said, I'll sign it tomorrow. I said, no, you don't get a uniform until you sign. I'll go talk to Mr. Brophy after the workout. I said, no, there won't be no talking. It's Mr. Brophy's way or no way. Don't say you're going to talk to him, because he's going to do talking. you do the listening. And that was so fun because they'd come in the next year. Am I okay? Well, let me see my list. And that might be mine. It's no big deal.
Nope.
And stuff like that. I mean, it was just, I just have a saying. And in them days, in the late 70s or late 60s, all the way up to Mr. Fluffy passed away, I was in charge of the whole minor league. You know, where he don't say, put him in different kind of uniform, don't, and this, and that. He said, nowadays, you have, the equipment manager now has to go as the new guys, or Terry Ryan, or Billy Smith, is what uniform should they wear. Well, I never had that trouble. Bruffy never bothered me with nothing. You're in charge, it's yours. And
you gave them their numbers.
I gave them the number. If they don't like it, like I've had ball players, I want this number, like Kilbrew. I said, you play half as good as Mr. Kilbrew do, you won't get that number, but you get any number that you want. If you want number 8 or number 9 or number 10. And so,
now,
so I just went,
do you want to get that?
No. Can't be that important.
Okay.
I used to be an important man in here, not, but all I do is, we was talking about this last night when the rookies came in, you know,
mm-hmm.
not professionals, but the regular players.
Yeah.
And I used to say, we ain't not going to do like minor league, you know. Now, I used to just pass the uniform, if it fits, it'll fit the next guy. But now they tailor them and doing all this. I said, I ain't going to spend 3 days trying to go through everybody's locker and see what size they were. It's only for 30 days anyway, maybe not even 30. You might not last for a week here. You might, after a week, you might be going home anyway, so it doesn't make no difference, you know.
Did they, back then, did they pass down the major league uniforms to the minor leagues and then they wore them?
We did. Matter of fact, we had flannels. I don't know if you recall, we had flannel uniforms. So all we got, we never did get double knits. Until they get about 10 years old, then we might get some.
Yeah.
But that was about 1980s. This, you know, late, like 1986 or 80 before we left Melbourne, we finally got some of those. But going 25 years, they get stained and stuff like that because they get old, you know, just wearing them.
Yeah.
But he never bought anything. He just gets hands-me-down some Ray Crump, who was the equipment manager for Big Club. But he was throwing away that, you know, you never get the 25 or 30. You either get 200 uniforms or none at all. So when I get a hook, there was no place you could put them because the clubhouse was so small. And Jerry Bell, I don't know if you recognize the name Jerry Bell. He used to be the big shot, you know, with Calvin. But
no, I don't remember that one.
But he came in when we got ready to move to Fort Myers. He came in and checked the place out. I showed him the clubhouse. How'd you dress? I said, very quickly. You know, we have 180. You got 180 lockers. You didn't have no extra locker, just in case. Then went to the lunchroom. How'd you feed them? The whole dining room, maybe enough to feed 40 guys, not when you're 180. I said, some of them eat outside, this and that.
Sure.
And it was like a joke. Everybody didn't like Melbourne. I don't blame them because the fields was bad. There wasn't nothing you could say, nothing good about this Melbourne place. Dick Such, you ever heard of Dick Such?
I did.
He was telling me, well, Plant City was worse than I said, Dick, nothing can beat this. Nothing. Even in the club, even where we slept, we found out 10 years after we had it, it was condemned for the Yankees back in 1947. And we didn't have to lock the door because you're scared. In them days, they smoked. And I said, if it catches on fire, we're in trouble because it's wooded. And the funny thing about it, we had a rope from the second floor down. So I said, bro, doesn't rope burn? Yeah. Well, this guy's on the second floor. What happens if he has a cigarette and we have a fire? We're in trouble. Well, we'll move eventually. We didn't never move until 1989.
Wow. Yeah, I was never at the minor league Melbourne complex. Well, I went the Orlando to the big league side. But
the funny thing about it, everybody wanted to get, even Puckett, everybody wanted to have that good year, get the hell out of, go to Orlando or something like that. Now they don't want to lose foot. If you get hurt and had to spend that, they'd rather spend 5 years there. They don't never get well.
Yeah.
And so that's because they build the thing out. You've probably seen that big building.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where they sleep.
Yeah,
and as you can tell by this clubhouse, you could put Melbourne's clubhouse, you could put it in here five times. You know, so small. Boy. And then they ain't going to tear it down. They're just going to try to put more lockers in than players, because each year they got 40 coaches. Now, there ain't no 40 lockers in here.
Nope.
So you got to double up. Now, Billy Smith's a nice guy. We should realize in baseball or football or basketball, it's going to get bigger instead of getting smaller.
Yeah.
You need more lockers. I really have more lockers than players, because you may need a player here and there. But you can't put two guys in one locker.
Yeah, it would be tough. But this isn't, it's a pretty good size complex here.
Oh, yeah. But, they've done this twice. This is the original building, but somehow they knew how to. These
expand
people know
it.
How to. Yeah, they know how to do this.
Okay. So, tell me more. What about your favorite player? Did you have any favorite player?
Well, you know what gets me? Like I say, being in this game, well, I'm not counting the 50s and 60s because, when you're too young, I wouldn't know a baseball player from this. I knew a couple of guys, I knew when they came to the clubhouse. You never know. In them days, where we have 16 clubs, now you got 30 or something like that. It's you only got so many guys. And right now, when everybody in the last 40 years, who's your favorite ball player? Every time you think you got one, there's another one come along,
Yeah.
You start with Harmon Killebrew, who he never been here. I mean, he's been here, but he's never been a player here.
Yeah.
Then I go to Kirby Puckett. I've been knowing him till he died.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when he lost his eyesight, it was the same day I retired because of my eyes. I said, "Where's Puckett? He's supposed to be here." Oh, he's at the doctor's office. But, I knew him a long time. And then you got to Burt Blyleven. So right now, I couldn't choose one. If you say who's the top 10, I may get to 10, but then there'd be 11, come along.
Yeah.
But they're all,
it's hard.
To me, it was all my famous because, as you know, a lot of teams fight among themselves, like Oakland and the Yankees, with Reggie Jackson and them kind of, I don't like to mention names, but there's half a dozen ball clubs. They always have fights or something going on. It's bad. We only had one fight in at least 40 years, maybe more. It was Torrey and the big first baseman we had.
Morneau.
He was laughing about something, and Torrey didn't like it, and so he jumped over the table.
Yeah.
He didn't hurt nobody. Nobody got hurt. Yeah. He just had to keep the press out of it, but no big deal. But it wasn't like a big knockdown fight. Yeah. This guy was laughing.
Yeah, they talk about it every now and then, that it took place. Yeah. But, I guess the big fight that people, it wasn't in the clubhouse, was Dan Gladden and Lombardozzi.
How did you know that was my second statement? Because when they came in last night, Lombo was here, but Danny, I know Dan, for the last 10 years I've known him. I said, "Guess who's coming in town tonight?" "Who?" I said, "Lombo will be here in 5 minutes." "Oh, I better go now." I torn him up. I told Lombo, I said, "Your buddy's coming in tonight." "Oh, he is, yeah." I said, "Can you take him?" "Oh, yeah, I beat the hell out of him." I said, "Well, Danny told me that he beat you." I said, "Who do you believe?" I said, "I think both of them was chicken. One was proud of it and one was scared." But every time I see Danny, I always say, I was in Baltimore because Lombo lives in Baltimore, or he did. And I used to make the road trips until I got too old to do anything. And I would say, "Hey, you know who lives in this town?" Danny said, "Who?" "Lombo. He wants me to leave two tickets tonight. You want to have dinner with him?" No, I got something to do." I said, "Okay, whatever you do." So, you must have been reading my mind, because when we had that party last night, Lombo showed up, but Danny, he don't want to come. I mean, he's a different kind of person. Nice person, but, he goes his way.
With Lombardozzi, he played on that team, and it just... when you mention Lombardozzi's name, you automatically associate him with Danny Gladden and the issue they had.
I had Steve, in the minor leagues. And don't think bad about it, not bad, is if he got three hits and we lose, he's happy. You win, and he didn't get no hits, he pouts. So how you doing? If you win, I don't care if he went 0 for 100. If you lose and get three hits, I don't want somebody jumping up and down, hey, I had a good game, you know.
Yeah.
I've been winning, not losing, and getting three hits. And because
about the team versus the player.
Yeah, because if you don't get no hits and we win, somebody else is picking you up.
Yeah.
But if we're not hitting when they lose a game and you get three hits, don't just, hey, I had three hits. Well, big thrill.
Did you play baseball when you were younger?
The most I've ever weighed in my whole life, except for the last 10 years, 95 pounds. I was with Stigman with me, and I was about 21, you see. Yeah, about 21 years old. I had to be drafted. And I was getting drafted in Dallas, and I only weighed 90 pounds. And when you line up to take your physical, some guy in front of me says, how do I get out of the draft? Says, be like this guy. He only weighs 90 pounds. If you get down to 90 pounds. So I didn't want to do that. Not that I was chicken. I mean, you got to fight for your war. Of course, that was in the 50s. We're not doing the Korean War or Vietnam War. I don't like it. Yeah. We're getting ready to go to Korea. I'm too old to go to Korea.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't play. So what made you interested in baseball?
Well, I don't know. I used to take a rubber ball and just throw up against the wall and came back. My daddy asked me the same question, 1959, the year I was graduating, because my daddy died 15 years later. But he said, what are you going to do when you get out of school? I wasn't smart enough to go to college. I told my teacher, just give me a D-, I'll be happy. You won't hear from me at all. But then I got tangled up with the baseball. You know, I went down there and got some. I was 12, and I had a pair of blue jeans and being a bad boy. Now, some guy next to me, guy that had money, he bought me a uniform, a Mobile uniform, so he made me a uniform. And it seemed like all the fans, maybe I'm one of them type of guys, once they see me, they dislike me. I mean, I've never been mistreated by anybody, but you know, they like me so much. One time I had to get my ears funny. I was a funny looking guy, I'm still funny looking. Yeah. My daddy got me my ears funny, and I missed a day or two. Where's Wayne at? He didn't bat boy night. And one time I tore my britches, and he's going on a losing streak. I said, I didn't know you're supposed to lose the baseball game. We lost about two more games. We'll get Wayne back. So when I got back, we started winning. So that was it.
Nice.
No win. So it was just funny. And I didn't get no Mick. You know, right now I used to have this old saying, you know, it ain't your fault with scouts. And I finally picked it up. I don't know why. But, you know, like you said, in the 80s we didn't play too good. And like I say, since 92, we got in the playoffs regardless. But if you don't go with the big, you know, if you don't get the World Series, what good's, I mean, you like playoffs, but, you know, you just don't. That's not my cup of tea. You like to get in the playoffs, but the big money, winning World Series, you know, you have the parade. You ain't going to have a parade if you just get in the playoffs.
Now, Cleveland, they just had a parade for their football team that went 0-16. Who has a parade for that?
Am I doing good? I'm pretty good.
Doing great. You're... Former manager Ron Gardenhire was a good friend of yours.
He even wanted to help me come up. I wouldn't say everybody tried to help me. You know, I've had a lot of managers, Billy Gardner's and Johnny Goro, Tom Kelly I had him as a player and a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you was thinking all these other guy bypassed me. I did ask Brophy, but both of them passed away. I said they fired Ray Crump. I don't know if you knew the name. So I asked him, I said, bro, tell the boss, I've been in minor leagues 25 years. Any chance of getting up to the big leagues? Everybody says, you know, scouts come in. Hey, you ought to be there. You know, you done this and that. And I said, I've had my punishment in 25 years in Melbourne. I said, don't I deserve a chance? So guess what the answer was? No. Calvin told Brophy, says, tell Wayne I love him, but he's more valuable in the minor leagues than you are in the big leagues. I told that to Bert. I told this to Bert when they came over. They used to come over to pitch a game, you know, get work in. I said, Bert, you're the player representative. How come you can't? And you're the player representative. Can't you tell your players to go to Calvin and say, you like your shot at it? You know what he tells me? He says, you're more valuable. Anybody can do the big league job. It takes a special kind of person to work in the minor league by yourself with 180 guys.
Yeah,
I said, you're right. I said, except the money.
Yeah.
You know, you don't mind making $1,000, but up there you make, at that time, you make $2,000 a month. I can do a lot more with $2,000 than I can with $1,000.
That's for sure. That's for sure.